You're listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Grace Life Church in Lake Asbury, Florida. You can find more information about Grace Life by going to thegracelifechurch.org or join us for worship every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at Lake Asbury Elementary School.
Well, he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, we're not going to focus on this verse about Jesus getting away to pray, but just a reminder, if Jesus gets away to pray, it's very important for us to get away and pray, all right, and spend time talking to God the Father. Verse 23, the second half of that, when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat, by this time, was a long way from land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, we're looking at about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, okay, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Underline that same phrase there again. Verse 28, and Peter might be one of my favorite Bible characters throughout the entire Bible, because he's always like, watch this, I'm going to do something, and then it just doesn't work out for him. Or it does work out, but thanks to Jesus, right? So Peter answered him, says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately, that's the third time we've seen the word immediately reading this. So circle those words there, okay? There's urgency at hand. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we can gather together as a church family, just people of this community, to listen to your very words and learn who you are, learn about our need for you. And I pray, God, as we continue working through this story, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll help us to hear, help us to listen, help us to apply the scriptures today. We pray for those who are not here today due to work or sickness or other circumstances. God, we pray that you'll be with them. Lord, I know that some of the people that aren't here today need this sermon. I pray that when they listen to it online later this week, that you'll use your word then to just encourage them and comfort them. Thank you that we gather together and we gather for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. When I was about 8 or 9 or 10, my parents took us to Disney, right? Do you remember your first trip to Disney World, if you've ever been? All right, or maybe you've got memories of Disney. It's the most magical place on earth to kids. Adults, it's a nightmare, right? It's busy. It's usually hot, right? And it's you're waiting in line. But there's a nostalgia to it, right? That's why Disney Plus, right, was such a huge success, because I'm flipping through and seeing TV shows I watched when I was a kid 30 years ago, right? And I'm just like, man, I haven't watched Rescue Rangers in forever on a Saturday morning. These incredible shows to us, there's a nostalgia to it all, right? So when I went 8, 9, or 10 years old, there was a ride called Encounter Alien, all right, something like the Alien Encounter Extraterrestrial. Did anybody ever ride this ride? I know Chris Saint did. He's working over in Kid Life, and we talked about this, and he relates to this. Right now, it's no longer in existence. It's now a Lilo and Stitch ride. Anybody ride the Lilo and Stitch ride there? A few more hands. This extraterrestrial alien, I don't know if it's a show, experience, was terrifying. Terrifying. I am 8 or 9. My mom talks me into going this. Still have not forgiven her. We get in line, and I remember this vividly because there's a woman here that sees me is like, oh, you're going to do this. I mean, there's an alien outside. It's going to be a little scary. She says, don't get scared, but don't scream like a girl. All right? So I'm like, now my manhood at 8 years old is at stake. So we go in there in this circular auditorium, and you sit in these like seats, all right? And then you strap in, and it's got a harness over you, okay? So you're sitting in there, and they're showing they captured an alien, and it's right here in this glass, and you watch the scientists, and then the lights go out, and it breaks out, because that's what aliens do, okay? I don't think they exist, but if they do, we should just leave them where they are, okay? So it breaks out, and you're like, what's going on? And I'm 8, and I'm terrified already, because now the alien is creeping behind you, okay? And you feel it breathing, and it's 4D, so there's steam coming on your neck. I'm like, I'm about to get eaten by an alien. I know it's not real, but it's happening. Water's spitting on you, and it's awful, terrifying. All I remember is I can't scream like a girl, and all I want to is just, I want to get out of here, all right? My mom thinks it's funny. I leave there. Now I know, I'm like, I got some, like, probably PTSD from this ride. I get home. I can't sleep at night. I'm like banging on my parents' door, all right? I'm covering up with my blanket. I remember laying in bed for years, okay? Just praying some psalms like, Lord, you're my shepherd, be with me, be with me. Please don't let me get attacked by aliens. Please, all of this, right? Just afraid. And still, even to this day, I hear a noise in the dark when it's just me. I went out of town this past week. I was at a hotel. I hear a noise. I don't even know what the noise is. My mind goes to the alien thing. Like, it's coming to get me. Terrifying. Now, as I'm parenting my kids and watching them just scared of the dark, I kind of sympathize with them, all right? Because I've been there. I've experienced this, and I get the fear. But as an adult, I understand there's really not a whole lot to be scared of the dark. What we're afraid of is maybe the unknown. We're afraid of more tangible things. We're afraid of having health issues or losing our job or struggles with our kids or losing a loved ones. Our fears are much more tangible because they're built out of experiences in our life. We're afraid to be alone, or maybe we're afraid to be intimate, or we're afraid of public speaking or people in general, or fear of missing out. We're afraid of the future, and maybe we're even afraid of death. And our fears come out of experiences that we've had, and we know, I don't want anything to do with that because I know it's going to hurt. And I know that's not where I want to be. I know it's going to be painful, so we're scared of it. Fear is a distressing emotion just aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain. Whether the threat is real or imagined, I know that an alien is not going to eat me in the middle of the night, right? It is a unsubstantial fear that I have. But I have a fear of losing someone dear to me. Colton was dealing with something this past week, just a little sickness, and like immediately my mind wants to go to the extreme. All right, I don't know if anybody else is like that, right? Or I have a trouble if you have a job and something starts to problem that job, and maybe you're like, I can't lose my job. Our fears are much more tangible, much more realistic. Yet we don't like to talk about our fears. We want to put on a brave face and be courageous, and let everybody on social media and in our life think that everything is perfect, everything is fine, everything is okay, even though on the inside we are in turmoil, we are in pain, we're suffering, we're hurting, but I can't let anybody in on that secret. Everything is okay. But even more so, while we don't like to talk about our fears and like to pretend that everything is okay, the Bible has a lot to say about fear. Because God knows that everything is not okay and everything is not perfect, and that we desperately need him in all seasons of life. God speaks to us out of his abundant power in the midst of our distress, and he calls us to look to him. So when we look at this story in John 6 and Matthew 14, we can see ourselves with the disciples in the middle of the boat. Look at verse 24. They're out on the boat, all right? And it says, by this time, they were a long ways away from the land, beaten by the waves, and the wind was against them. And these disciples, some of them are experienced fishermen, okay? Peter, one of them. There's a few of them, experienced fishermen. They've probably faced a terrible storm. So you got guys like Matthew, who's a former tax collector, who's probably on this boat like, all right, Peter, you're all talk. Because if you're scared of this storm, I don't really think you're a good fisherman, okay? You talked me into going on this ride. Just, hey, it's a short boat trip across. Like 5 miles is all. It's just a short little boat trip to the other side. You said this would be easy, no problem. I should have ridden the camel, right? Land, we're going to die out here. You feel and sense the turmoil these disciples are at on the boat. They are a long ways away from land. How many of us have been there in the middle of a life storm where we feel, I'm a long ways away from peace and comfort. I'm a long ways away from land. Will my feet ever be steady again? Will everything be okay? You're out in the middle of it, wondering, what am I going to survive this? Am I going to make it? Am I going to continue having financial troubles? Am I going to continue having this issue with this person? Am I going to continue struggling with everything that's going on? And I could fill in the blank with a whole variety of issues, but I don't want to undermine anybody's suffering and anybody's hurt, because suffering and hurt is unique to every person. What is suffering to you may not be suffering to me. What is suffering to me may not be suffering to you. That's why we can't just say, oh, that's no big deal. When someone is in the middle of the ocean, lost and hurting and just wondering when they're going to get their feet stable again. And then not only that, they're out in the middle, far from lands, but what does the next line say? The waves are beating them up. Have you been there? Just life just pounding you? Is it just me? We've been there. You go to the doctor and you find out about a health concern. And then something else happens. It's like one after another. As soon as you get knocked down and you try to get up again, right? You get knocked back down. Beaten up by the waves. And then the third thing, the wind was against them. Meaning if they've got a sail and they're out on the ocean, the wind was against them. They're not going anywhere. They're not going where they need to go. They're stuck. I ever felt like, man, everything seems to be against me. Life at home is a wreck. I go to work just to try to get away from maybe my family issues. I go to work and it's a mess. And then everything is against me, turmoil. And yeah, we don't want to talk about it for some reason, because we want to put on the brave face and say everything's okay. But what we see over and over and over and over again in the Bible is that Jesus is near to us. Hear me when I say this. No matter what type of storm you are facing, no matter what type of storm, and you know that storm that you are in or you've been in or you kind of feel like it's coming, right? I don't have to figure out what it is. You know what it is. Jesus is near to you. He is near to you. This past week in life groups, we studied Psalm 23, okay? If you missed it, we just did a deep dive into Psalm 23, okay? That's why you should be in a life group, so you don't miss out on deeper Bible study, okay? And in it, in verse 4, Psalm 23, verse 4, David says, even though I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? What does it say? A little louder? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In this context, this geographical area, the landscape, the shadow, the valleys in this area were deep and they were dark, often cold. and there were animals out there. You had to be aware of your surroundings, but it's completely dark, so you can't see what's in there. And then you're trying to walk, and you're having to be careful because one misstep and you're falling. It's a lost and lonely situation. David says, even though I'm in that valley, God, I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Did David say what his valley of the shadow of death is? Some things that we could figure out. Maybe it was a sin issue that he was dealing with, and he just doesn't know how he's going to get out of it, but he knows God is there to help him and serve him. We don't know if it's the loss of his child. We don't know if it's the loss of a wife. We don't know the situation, but we know we've been in the valley of the shadow of death, where we don't know how to get out, but we know that God is there. And why can David say that God is with him? Why can we say in confidence that when we were out on the boat, when the we're a long ways from land and the waves are against us and the wind is beating us up, how can we know that God is with us? Because in Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. I shall not want." Your pain, your storm, your fears, your suffering, they are unique to you. But what we know about every storm as a child of God, we know that Jesus is with us. And that sometimes feels like a cliche, right? Especially right in the middle of it. When I'm going through something and a friend or another believer says, "Hey, God is with you." I know, but there's something like, I wish I could see Jesus here right next to me, right? I want to hold his hands and be like, okay, I can go through this now because you're with me. But really, it's a truthful and comforting hope that each and every child of God can cling to in the moment of distress, that Jesus is with me. As the story unfolds, we see Jesus in the midst of our storms. We see the strength that he's going to provide, his presence and his power. And in those storms, we see our hope. Our hope. Three things I want us to see. When we find ourselves in the middle of the storm, or as we prepare for the storms that will come. First is, Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows where you are. Look at what happens as soon as Jesus wraps up feeding the 5,000. Verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. I like how Matthew writes this. Afterwards, right? After he has survived the boat trip. I don't know if it was a 3-hour tour. Could have been, okay. The teenagers have no idea what I'm talking about there. Is that, if you do, good for your parents, right? But Jesus is the one who told them to go get in the boat. You think they're out on the boat and like, Jesus knew, didn't he? He knew that this is what's going to happen. And of course he did. Jesus tells them, go get on the boat. Go get out in the boat. He knew that the storm was going to come. He knew where the disciples were going to be. And he knows where you are when you are in the midst of your suffering and your pain, when you are in the middle of your storm. One of the most incredible attributes of the triune God is his omniscience. Can you guys say omniscience? It's really omniscience, okay? It's not how it's pronounced, but I don't think we have it. Oh, it's up there. So it means that God knows all things at all times, okay? There is not a moment where God is surprised by anything. There's not a moment where God doesn't know something. God doesn't get emails and say, oh, hey, just FYI, I didn't know this, but coming up here. God knows everything at all times, which is both comforting and slightly terrifying. That God knows what I'm going to think on Tuesday morning in the middle of temptation, right? Or what I'm going to say a week from now to someone. God knows everything at all times. So he knows that I am suffering in the middle of this storm. He knows when the storm's coming a couple weeks ago, a couple weeks from now, or years from now. He knows all things. And this attribute, this all-knowing nature of God, is what we lean into when we are in the middle of a storm. We find assurance that God knows exactly where we are. He knows we are hurting. He knows we are suffering. He knows the situation we are in. He knows it all. And sometimes he's walking us through that to make us more like him. He's not surprised by it either. A few chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says that the Father knows all the hairs on your head. Now, for some of us, that's a lot. For some of you, it's a little easier for God to count, okay? But think about all the hair on our heads in this room. Do you know how many hair you have on your head? Have you ever tried to count? It's impossible. And God knows how many hairs on my head, on your head, how many hairs you'll have on your head next week, all right? Ladies, he knows how many hair from your head you've left at the shower, right, stuck around the drain, okay? Right, God knows it all. And that's comforting because we know that we are not alone in our storms. Psalm 139 is an incredible chapter. We're going to actually study it out in January. Verses 1 through 2 say, O Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. You know when I sit down. How many of you have sat down today? God knew you were going to do it. God knew I was about to sit on the stage, right? I just decided right then to do it, right? And he knows when you stand up. You discern my thoughts from afar. Verse 4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Just watch your words. Because God's already heard them before you say them. Verse 16, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them, before you were even conceived, God knew how many days you would walk on this earth. There is nothing in this life that is a surprise to God. Because he knows all things. What a comforting hope it is that in the midst of our deepest pain, God is there, and he knows where we are. No matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are going, God sees you and he knows. Are your finances short? God knows. You have health concerns? God knows. Lost a loved one? God knows. Miserable job? God knows. Struggling with your kids, your spouse, a friend, a neighbor? God knows. On the flip side of that, God also knows the joys of our life too. And he has ordained those for us as well. A couple years ago, Julie and I took the kids on a vacation, and on the way back home, we stopped at a rest area to stretch our legs, use the restroom. I got a football out, and I was tossing around with Colton. And we were headed back to the car, and opening the door, and I'm already on guard as it is as a rest area, as a parent, okay? Because kids are elusive. They're like cats, all right? And if you take your eye off of them, they're gone. So Colton is right by my side. I open the door to let him in. I turn around and he's gone. And I'm like, you were just right there, all right? Some Batman crazy ninja stuff he just did. So I'm like, Colton, where are you, all right? No answer. So I'm walking around. He's not at the front of the car. He's not over there playing football. Like maybe he went back in over there. I can't find him. I'm panicking now, right? It's just like that. He's gone. I can't find him. I'm walking around the car. Now, Julie's panicking too, okay? We've lost our son at a rest area. All of a sudden, I see him. And what was happening was we were doing this circle around the car. He was hearing my voice and coming to me while I was looking for him. I couldn't find him. I lost him. And as a parent, you've probably been in a situation like that, right? Can I tell you, our Heavenly Father has never lost sight of you. Not once. He doesn't turn his head and like, oh man, where did Bob go? Where did Julie go? Where did Matt? I've lost him. No. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are. But in the same way a father chases after a lost child, okay? And even though God never loses sight of us, God comes to us. God is not all-knowing and distant. God is all-knowing and near. God is not all-knowing and distant. He is all-knowing and near. Jesus comes to you. Verses 25 through 27. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." There's exclamation points, or they're probably bit more frantic. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." I love this. Jesus is walking towards them, okay? Didn't get on a boat. He's alone praying up on a mountain. The disciples did not text Jesus and say, "Hey, Jesus, just FYI, I know you're praying. Sorry to bother you. We're stuck out here in the ocean. We're about to die. Come help," right? They did not do that. Their yells and cries of help would have been drowned out by the weather. Jesus came to them because he heard them. He walks out on the water, showing his power over nature. Anybody ever tried to walk on water? We all have, okay? What do when you take that first step? You sink, right? Jesus is walking on water. Incredible. They walk out, he walks out. And the disciples don't recognize Jesus, which makes sense. It's dark, it's windy, it's stormy. Their feet aren't settled, right? You've never seen anybody walk on water. You're probably going to think it's a ghost. They don't recognize him. You want to know when they do recognize him? After he spoke, they recognized his voice. They recognized his voice. The voice of Jesus brings comfort in the midst of the storm. You say, "Okay, Pastor Matt, I'm not hearing from Jesus right now. I don't hear him. How do I hear him? If I can hear Jesus' voice, tell me how I can hear Jesus talking to me." Well, he's not going to be talking to you audibly from heaven. He's not going to be sending an email or a text message or a fax if you still use it, okay? Jesus speaks to us out of the Holy Scriptures. And out of his word, he speaks grace and mercy and joy and comfort and peace in the midst of everything we can face in life. God speaks words of comfort and peace to us through his word. When you find yourself out in the middle of ocean, dealing with an unexpected health issue, dealing with an unexpected family issue, dealing with an unexpected job issue, dealing with fill in the blank. When you find yourself out in the middle of the ocean, far from land, being beaten up by the waves and the wind is against you, listen for the voice of Jesus from his word. Get into the Bible. Sit down and open it up and cry out, God, I can't find you. Where are you? Let me hear your voice. And reading through the Psalms. And here's how I know that God is just absolutely incredible and amazing. Did you know there are at least 365 verses, if not more, that say, fear not, do not be afraid, don't worry, don't be anxious? One for every day of the year. Plenty of places to turn in the Bible when you're in the midst of something you do not want to be in the middle of. Verses like Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. What better thing to hear from God himself through his word when you're in the middle of just crud? God says, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. Ever needed a reminder somewhere? Reading scripture says, when I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in God. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. With you wherever you go. With you to the brink of pain, to the brink of death. God is with you wherever you go. 1 Peter 5:7, a verse I've used to several of you. Casting all your anxieties, all your cares, all your worries on him because he cares for you. Meaning that I can cast my cares, my worries, my fears on God because he's big enough to handle it when I can't. And more importantly, he can carries them for us because he cares for me. He cares for you because he is your God. God's word brings us comfort and peace in the midst of pain and turmoil. Listen to me. One of the reasons, as your pastor, I'm constantly telling you to engage the word, to read the word, get it to it daily, because I know you need it, not just for today and the good seasons, but you're definitely going to need it in the middle of the rough seasons. God's word is a warm blanket on a very chilly night. It's comforting and it's filled with hope. Don't wait to get into the Bible as a last resort. Start getting into it today. But when you find yourself in the middle of a storm, listen to the word of God speaking to you. God is near. He loves you and he cares for you. Jesus knows where you are. And he comes to us in the middle of the storm. We recognize his voice, and we can say, I don't have to fear. Lastly, Jesus gives you strength. When Peter hears the voice of Jesus in Matthew 14, he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come on, Peter, let's get out here. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, rescue me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him. Jesus took hold of Peter. All right? Not Peter grabbing on the Jesus. Jesus is the one doing the rescuing here, okay? Said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Have you ever been in a situation, and we've talked about this already, The only thing you can say is, Lord, save me. Help me. I need you. I am drowning here. Recognizing that it is Jesus and wanting to say, I mean, I'm hoping Peter just doesn't ask anyone to say, hey, if that's you, let me walk on water. I think he's 99.9% sure this is Jesus here. Peter trusted that he can join him on the water because he saw the Lord's power and authority. How comforting it is to know that when you face trials, you may not have the strength, but Jesus does. As you trust in him, you experience his strength in you. The key, though, is you must trust Jesus. Something Peter found out the hard way. As soon as he stepped out of the boat, he takes his eyes off Jesus and he sees the waves that have been beating him up. He saw the wind that was against him and he begins to sink, crying out, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches out his hand, grabs onto Peter, pulls him up, says to him, oh, you of little faith, why have you doubted? Now, let me be cautious here. When Jesus says, oh, you, to Peter, oh, you of little faith, Jesus is not telling him, if you have big boy faith, everything will be okay, all right? Because our faith is not the object. Let me read this for us, all right? What matters most is not the measure of your faith or how big it is, okay? What matters most is always the object of your faith. And hear me when I say this. Your faith is strong only when the object of your faith is strong. So when you put your faith in anything else other than Jesus, you're putting your faith in something that is not strong enough. Jesus is not telling Peter, hey, have more faith, you'll be okay. Jesus is telling Peter, look to me. Your faith is weak because you're not looking to me. You're putting your faith in your own feet. As soon as you did that, you're sinking. Put your faith in me. Trust me. I am strong enough to save you. Reaching out his hand, one hand, pulls Peter out of the water, stabilizes him. That's a strength that we need in the middle of the storms, and it's only a strength that Jesus can provide. More materials, more money, just a better relationship, putting our faith in those things aren't enough to hold our feet above the water. Only Jesus is. There's a quote by a pastor from Texas that says, the greater your knowledge of the goodness and grace of God is on your life, the more likely you are to praise him in the storm. We need to step back and realize that Jesus makes a difference in every part of our life, even in the parts of life that we would call a storm. No matter what storm you're in, Jesus knows where you are. No matter what waves are beating you up, Jesus speaks to you through his word. Words of comfort and peace and joy and salvation. No matter what storm, no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance you are facing, when you feel like you can't stand anymore, there is strength in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's reaching out and rescuing us. As long as your faith is in your circumstances, as long as your faith is focused on anyone or anything apart from Christ, then it won't matter how much faith you have. You will fall sooner or later. On the other hand, when your eyes are on Jesus, the all-sovereign, gracious, loving, and merciful Savior, the King of creation, you can always rest secure. Your faith will be constant because Christ is always constant. You know what happens after Jesus shows up, raises Peter out of the water, gets back on the boat? Verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I find it interesting that Matthew earlier mentions about being out far from lands and the waves beating up and the winds against them. Here he says, mentions only the wind. Once we realize, when we are Jesus, the storm may not be over, but we are definitely better with Jesus in our boat. What does that cause the disciples to do in verse 33? And those in the boat worshiped him. They worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The natural response for the Christian when they see Jesus is in their boat, comforting them, protecting them, and caring for them, the natural response is say, "You are the Son of God. My heart worships you." Christian, I know, as your pastor, there are a lot of you that are going through some very hard times. My heart aches for you. Goodness, we've had almost an entire discipleship group have surgery in the last month. There's some of you that have lost family members, loved ones. Some of the situations in your life I don't even know about yet. You're still trying to figure out how in the world you got out in the middle of the water. I know you are hurting. But can I tell you, Jesus loves you and he is near to you. Do not lose sight of him. An old hymn, if we had any musicians here today, we would sing this. I would make them sing it, but they're out serving. There's an old hymn that says, "On Christ the solid rock I'm found. You guys know it? Help me out here. All other ground is sinking sand." Something along those lines. Anyways, what the hymn is saying is that the only solid ground in this life is Jesus. Place your faith and trust in him. Not just in the middle of the storms, but for each and every day, in the good and in the bad, Jesus is near to you. Let's pray.